Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs 16 and verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That's our topic today. The Lord has made all things for himself. And the wicked for the day of evil. While God's sovereignty cannot be argued, he may allow things to go on that are wicked in the world. After all, the prince of this present evil world, Christ made allusion to there in John 14 and 30. It's the wicked one. He's the prince of this present evil world. God allows it to go on for a time. At the end, it will be that he will verify who serves him and who serves him not. I said verify. He knows who. He just verifies in the final analysis. Who serves God and who does not, and he will punish or reward accordingly. He's made all things for himself. We think about all the things in the Old Testament that went on. 1 Kings chapter 18. The days of Elijah. 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions?" Well, things ain't changed much. People claim to worship God. Scripture tells we worship in spirit and in truth, but they want to worship him in the flesh. Halted between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Now there is a canvas. You have Elijah. We have in the background the false prophets of Baal, Ahab, and Jezebel. God let it go on for a reason. You couldn't see the righteousness of Elijah, but God still had his 7,000. It still hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. In the days of Jehu, 2 Kings, chapter 10, Jehu wiped out Jezebel and Ahab. Chapter 10, verse 18. Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal and his servants and all the priests. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live." But Jehu did it subtly, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. There was a reason. Wipe them out. Well, first you're going to have to find out who they are. Ezekiel, well, Psalms 92 and 7. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do to flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Yes, they'll grow for a while. To the end, they're going to be destroyed. God makes no mistakes. Made everything for himself, for his own glory. We read in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your wicked ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" It's not God's fault that the wicked are what they are. And if it wasn't for his grace, we'd be just like them. God's creation, well, all his works declare his something about him, I guess you might say. Teach us about him. there in the book of Psalms. Psalms has a great deal to say about the glory of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare. They show, they teach. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Look at all these wonderful things beyond our comprehension. 29th Psalm, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. If we did not have the thunder, we would not have a good idea of his voice. Full of majesty. Thunder gets your attention. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sharon like the young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. And the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Like I say, thunder gives us a good idea of his voice. Mountains picture his majesty. The glorious starry night, his infinite vastness. We're finite beings. We cannot understand the space. There has to be an end to it. No, there can't be. That's all our minds can comprehend. We cannot understand it. We understand little. Most people seem to think God is boring. Heaven is just clean cut and nothing that would allure one. And I like what one man said, does a young kitten or two young kittens playing, does that tell us that their creator is boring? Shows his creative brilliance, his holiness. Flowers show his beauty. There in Matthew chapter 6, what was it Christ said about Solomon wasn't arrayed like, and if Solomon had all the wealth or one could have imagined, wasn't arrayed like a flower. And I mean, you look at him, everything is fitting in place, beautiful. Matthew 6:28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. How do they reproduce? The creation is glorious even in its fallen condition. Is there any better picture of meekness than the smile of a child? Think about that. The complexities of the reproductive cycle of man and plants and creatures. Too much for us to consider. David said it best, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. It truly is. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't get away from the Almighty. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Beyond our comprehension, we just take God's word by faith. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and the 7th verse, Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Now, you go back to the book of Genesis and you read about those, the names of those that are listed from Adam. It tells us, and they died. We don't read that about the wicked. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. We don't read the age that the wicked lived to be. They might have lived longer than Methuselah, I don't know. But we read about the righteous. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. We're here for God's glory. And we know that saying about Samson. He destroyed more of the wicked in his death than he did in his life. Be conscious of bringing glory to the Almighty God. Why did God create so many nations? We have, according to the scripture, we have Israel, God's chosen people. And then we have Gentiles that we read about in Ephesians 2 that had no hope. We were without hope. We were Gentile dogs. Creates a canvas once again. You have the righteous, you have the clean, you have the unclean. The Jews, they come on the scene living 70, even in Moses' day, 70 to 80 years. And at that time, people didn't take care of themselves like they do now. They wasn't living to be 70. The Jews did, but because they had a dietary and a cleanliness law, but the people around them, they were living about half that. Well, that would make me want to live like them. That makes good sense. When one goes looking for the true and living God, it makes good sense to look to the people of the true and living God, I guess is what I'm saying. Over in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 9. Let's start about verse 7. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Like I say, if you're one of them, as we're Gentiles, we're not Jews. If we was living like they was back in those days, we would want to be like God would have the Jews to be. Clean living, clean acting, cleanliness and law. Righteous. Of course, we know they rebelled as man is a rebel. You have the law of God, like they did, which kept down trouble and fighting. Law was for God's glory. His nature. It's a law that man can get along with. Now, if you think about the laws of the land in those days, the pagan, idolatrous world of that day and age, disease ran rampant because of their filthy living. Greek mythology is a good example of what the world of that day and age is still like, truth being known. Wickedness, poverty that ran along with it. I guess it's best said what Scripture said, Psalms 115, verse 8, speaking about idols. They that make them are likened to them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. In the law of religion, man worships a god like he thinks the god should be, which in most cases is no god at all. The gods are wood and stone. Those gods are dead. On the other hand, the Almighty's creation lives. We get a hold of the children. We get to play with the pups, watch the kittens play. Those things are alive. The flowers, God's great creation. On the other hand, now you see perhaps the gods of wood and stone are just inanimate objects, doing nothing, can't do anything, powerless, cannot reproduce themselves. We think about gravity. How do you define it? Well, scientists can't define it, but God said it be so, it's so. That's all those things do what God has bidden them to do. In the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, the 6th verse, this is speaking about basically Israel. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. If God says live, it will live. It's that simple. It's his word. Proverbs 22 tells us about poverty. Where do they come from? Christ said, you have the poor you have with you always. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. He created all things for himself, including those in poverty. Well, that ain't no fair. God doesn't have to be fair. God's holy. One waxes poor needing help. There's where his wisdom comes in. Showing the righteous will help. Only the wisdom and power of God could work in comforting the downcast. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God provides a remedy. Provides their needs. Makes us, and none of us here are wealthy. Makes us rely on the giver of all the good things. Many a great men and great women have rose from poverty. Probably one of the greatest being Abraham Lincoln. Giving him credit, he done a lot of good things in preserving the Union. There's been others. Grew up in adverse situations. I didn't grow up very well to do myself. God made it so. He's the creator of the one as well as the other. Rewards those that help the poor. Psalms 127, we read about his sleep. What is sleep anyway? Psalms 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. We all enjoy it, a good night's sleep. Everybody. What is it? Who created it? Oh, well, obviously, from what we read, God created it. We don't read of any such thing in heaven. Revelation 4 speaks about those creatures that God has made cry, holy, 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 for what we would call 24/7. They don't need sleep. The flesh needs sleep. It's when the body heals itself. Revelation 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind, and the first beast was like unto a lion, the The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They don't take sleep up there. They don't need it. We need sleep. Christ slept when a tempest was about to sink their boat. God spoke to prophets and speaks to people, perhaps even today, in their sleep. Each day's death, I mean, can be looked at as sleep. When that time comes, we're willing to, He makes us willing to lay down and go to sleep. Like I say, there's a lot of things we cannot say about sleep, but sleep is each day's death. And for the saint, it's typical of heaven. Animals teach us. The book of Job, the 12th chapter, verse 7. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Why will a fish die out of water? Because God's put it in the water and for it to live there, and it will not go against His word. Mm-hmm. Speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. The fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? God made it the way it is for His glory. It's that simple. Solomon wrote about this, consider the ant. He spoke about the lion that turneth not away from any. When the Lord returns in battle, He's likened to a lion. Woe unto His enemies. Job 39, verse 13. I mean, when you think of a lion, it's the king of the jungle. Job 39, verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto peacocks, or wings and feathers to the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom. Neither hath He imparted to her understanding. She does not have beautiful feathers. She doesn't have a lot of wisdom. God made her that way for His own glory. You can look at some of the creatures that are intelligent, cunning like the fox. It is said foxes will run through a snowy field right up to a river and then double back in their tracks if they have dogs chasing them. So the dogs keep running, they'll go right into the river. Like I say, you have a great canvas there. What about the duck-billed platypus? Anybody ever figure that one out? I think it confounds the evolutionist. A mammal that lays eggs. Well, what about the soul? I mean, we talk about babies. Babies have a soul. That soul, we know from the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, everything that God does, nothing can be put to it nor taken from it. He does it forever. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That soul is forever. Nothing can be put to it nor taken from it. God doeth it that men should fear before Him for His glory. It's for our good. A lot of questions we ask, we don't always have the answer to. But God gives the soul. Breathe in the man, and man became a living soul, we know from the creation. If man had no soul, then death would bring annihilation to the soul, and the body would return to the dust. But with the soul, the Almighty can now reward or punish that soul. Only God could have created it. Man hasn't made a blade of grass, as we well know. But with the soul, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, we read about the value of the soul. Matthew 16, I believe. Think about this. He gives his fingers to go through pages of Scripture. Matthew 16, 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? His price is beyond comprehension. As to the soul, our Creator has all right to allow one to become hardened in their sin. He did Pharaoh. Or he can grant one repentance. Now, he didn't have all types of people, you probably wouldn't see God's power. To the wise, he can confound the wise. He can give wisdom to the ignorant. All these things that we should fear before him in the flesh, we know from 1 Corinthians 1, shall not glory in his presence. Psalms 24 and 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. It's the Lord's. And this is why the wicked are so much against biblical truths, God and Christ, because if these things be so, then he owns us. And it's him who we will answer to. The soul has, the Creator has the right to allow one to become hardened in their sins or to even give one over to a reprobate mind. He can love one and reject the other. It's what he said unto Pharaoh. That's why he raised him up, was to show his power. That's there in Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now he allowed their idolatries, paganistic beliefs, to go on for a while. But after the Exodus, all of Egypt had seen the true and living God. Well, where does the evil things come from then? Where does war come from? War brings out the worst in people. We won't go there, but in the book of Judges, the 19th chapter, there was war that almost wiped out the whole tribe of Benjamin. There was like 400 and some left. All because one Levite went through one of their towns, Gibeah, and they pulled, the men of Gibeah was just like those of Sodom. And when the whole nation of Israel went to exterminate them, the men of Benjamin took up for the homosexuals and wouldn't give them over to be destroyed, but they'd rather fight. That's what war does. People jump up and take a stand for no good reason sometimes. Like I say, war is a terrible thing. Where does it come from? Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things, but he's not the author of sin. In the book of James, the 4th chapter, we read where wars come from. James chapter 4. Verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Even come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill, ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. It comes from our sinful lust. That's the culprit, lust. Things at war against the soul. 1 Peter, turn over a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We can look at war and say that's what will happen if we allow hate to brew. You, just like a person, you eventually going to have war with them for no reason, just because of lust. Wars come from small, what we would think, just petty disagreements. That's where a lot of wars have come from. Christ taught in the Beatitudes that hate is just the same as murder. Well, hate left alone will end up in murder. Man has sought out many inventions. We know from Ecclesiastes 7:29, war is one of them. Like I say, it brings out the worst in people. Did God create the devil? He created Lucifer, who transgressed and became the devil. We know from Ezekiel 28:14. It tells us that God hath set thee so. And with that, there's strong warning for us in the book of Titus. And not the book of, Titus chapter 1, verse 16. That's still not the passage of the warning. This is called the pastoral epistles. My notes have, they profess that they know not God, but in works they deny him being abominable and disobedient. That's not the passage that I'm wanting. The pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy 3 and 6. Speaking about the novice, newly come to the faith, lest being lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. That's a warning for all of us. That's the passage that I was looking for. It gives us qualifications for the bishop. But we can all profit by this. Don't allow pride into your life, into your heart. It has disastrous consequences. So one might say, let me get this right. One certain woman eating fruit that she knew was forbidden brought all the violence and blood shed upon the history of man, requiring that the Creator himself would too become a man and die in man's place to avert God's wrath. Why not just with a word destroy the wicked? I mean, that's man's logic thinking. I can't give you every answer, but over in the book of Titus, verse 2 of chapter 1, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, those people have to be brought in time. The wheat and the tares grow together. God has made it so. The elect must be brought to salvation. Christ made it plain in John 10:16 that he had many sheep that were not of that fold. There was Gentiles who would be granted repentance at a point in time. I might have misquoted that. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And that's going to play out. It's been going on upwards of 2,000 years now. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. God's going to be glorified in all these things. We think about you taking away God's word, like when the Ten Commandments were taken out of school. What once read, thou shalt not kill, instead there will be killing. There has been. Thou shalt bear no false witness. Evolution's the biggest lie ever taught in the schools. Honor thy father and thy mother. Has ever there been a generation that dishonors their parents? Today's youth as a whole have little respect for their parents. Oh, and so on and so on. Thou shalt not kill. Shall not commit adultery. All these things you have and right the opposite of them. Well, that's what you get when you take away God's word. One would say, God is selfish, making all these things for himself. Like I said a while ago, we get to play with the animals. We get to hold the babies. If we look in Psalms chapter 40, it's very fitting what it says. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned in order unto thee. If I should declare and speak them, they are more than can be numbered. He's done all these things, and we reap the benefits of them. Anyway, we'll look at this a little bit more next time we study. God hath made all things for himself. We're out of time.
Sounded to me like he made them for us.
Appreciate that, bro.